As we do this biblical theology survey of the Bible, I almost feel like we're flying over scripture in an airplane, and I'm trying to get you to look out the window at a, you know, quick glimpse of the countryside now and then. Certainly in showing the big picture of God's redemptive story, we're not trying to do a verse-by-verse exposition. We're going very fast. But in this devotion, I want to slow down for just a few minutes. There's a scene here in God's story of salvation, his plan of redemption, that I'm afraid we tend to overlook. But it's worth one devotion to just briefly explain it. And it's the story of a woman named Hannah. Now, to put it in context, where we're at, we've arrived at the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. And those are really just one book. They're broken up for the sake of size, but it's a time of transition from the period of the judges, where God would send occasional leaders to restore the nation. At that point, the nation's a group of fairly independent tribes. Judges even ends with a brief civil war between those tribes. And if you remember the statement at the very end of Judges 21:25, in those days there was no king in Israel, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So that downward spiral of sin is going to continue, the writer of Judges argues, as long as there's no righteous leadership guiding the people according to God's covenants. As long as everybody does what they think is right, nobody's going to be actually doing right. 1 and 2 Samuel is a time of transition then to the time of the kings. The main characters of the book are three men, Samuel, Saul, and David. I see Samuel as essentially the final of the judges that God sent to lead the nation. Saul, we're going to see, will become Israel's first king, but he's not a godly king. And then David will become the promised king, a king after God's own heart. But strangely enough, the book starts off by telling us the story of the prophet Samuel's birth. Or maybe since Samuel's the author, that's not so unusual. But the first two chapters tell the story of Samuel's mother, a woman named Hannah. She is the beloved wife of this man named Elkanah, but unfortunately, while she's the beloved wife, she's not the only wife. Elkanah had also married another woman named Peninnah, and Peninnah bore children to him, but Hannah did not. She had been barren. And culturally, this is a heavy burden for Hannah. The promised land was allotted to families and passed down by generations, and so they saw having children as a means of securing and being part of God's promise, and she's not had children. So Hannah prays and asks God for a child. Now, according to the law, the first child belongs to the Lord, and there's actually a special ceremony where you bring the baby to the tabernacle and hand them to a priest and give him to the Lord's service, and then for a few coins, you redeem the child and bring him back home with you. And Hannah prays to the Lord and says, if you give me a son, then I will give him unto Yahweh all the days of his life. So essentially she's saying if she has a son, she'll bring the child to the tabernacle to serve and he'll remain there in service to God. And so that's how the prophet Samuel is born. And then in chapter 2, we get Hannah's celebration about this birth. She prays, it says. But really, this is also written as a psalm. It's a prayer song. So 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 through 10. And Hannah prayed and said,
my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy as the Lord. For there is none beside you, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let no arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren has borne seven, and she that has many children is waxed feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive, and he brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among the princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed.
Yeah, that wasn't me. I want to thank my dear wife Joy for being a guest star as the voice of Hannah. Now, I'm certain Samuel loves his mama, right? But that is a large section to add to Scripture if that's the only reason why. Remember, this is an edition inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. So I'm going to suggest to you that this prayer of thanksgiving by Hannah shows us three things. And right now, if you don't have a Bible in front of you, I'd ask you to just pause the video and get one, right? Pause. It's probably right down there in that area somewhere. Just look at the words of 1 Samuel 2, 1 through 10, and see these three main points of Hannah's prayer, because it's so easy to overlook. The first thing we see in her prayer is an example of a person in a covenant relationship with God. Verses 1 and 2, those first two verses, Hannah's heart sings, right? My heart rejoices in the Lord. And while the word horn seems odd to us, she's using that in the sense of strength. She's been given strength by Yahweh, and she rejoices in his salvation. But it's all about God, not Hannah, right? In verse 2, he's holy, he's unique, he's a sure rock and foundation. What a nation Israel would be if everyone had Hannah's heart. The second section of her prayer, by far the longest, verses 3 through 9, we see a commentary on God's actions throughout 1 and 2 Samuel. It's not exactly an outline, it's more of a commentary. Those three main characters, the prophet Samuel, King Saul, King David, just try to read all of 1 and 2 Samuel with Hannah's words here echoing in your mind. Stop the pride. Stop the arrogance. The Lord God knows your heart. He's judging your actions. The mighty will be broken and the struggling will be strengthened. The Lord kills and makes alive. The Lord brings down to the grave and he brings up. He's going to literally do that with Samuel. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings down the proud. He exalts the humble. He alone sets the path of his saints, and nobody in their own strength will succeed. Hannah's prayer song serves as advanced commentary on everything that's about to happen. And then the third section, the final one, gives us a prophetic promise of a better king. Look at verse 10. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. He shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Y'all, this has such an end times view. When you read a description of God smashing his enemies to pieces and judging the ends of the earth, that's not happening in Hannah's day. Now look closely at the final two statements of her prayer song. He shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. This should cause us to be asking right now. God will give strength to his king. What king? What king could Hannah possibly be talking about? She's just given birth to the final judge, and there's no king in Israel. So what on earth is she talking about? This is prophetic. In the near term, by the end of 2 Samuel, we'll be identifying David as God's king. But remember, she's talking about a king at a time when God's enemies will be shattered and the ends of the earth will be judged. And if you're still wondering who that is, key in on the very last phrase. Now remember, she's using that term horn in the sense of strength. And she's saying God will raise up strength in his anointed. The word anointed, here's what it is in Hebrew. Mashiach, or we usually say Messiah. God will raise up strength in his Messiah, his anointed one. Hannah is being given a prophetic promise of Jesus. This prayer song, it echoes all through 1st and 2nd Samuel and through the Old Testament. And then the New Testament opens, and we have a virgin girl from Nazareth who conceives the Messiah. And it's then that we get a different first-time mother echoing Hannah's words in her own prayer song in Luke's Gospel. Mary prays, and her prayer song begins so much like Hannah's. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit's rejoiced in God my Savior, for he's regarded the low estate of his handmaid. This prayer of Hannah, it is not to be overlooked. I mean, yes, it is a declaration of thanksgiving for the birth of her child, but it is an inspired portion of God's grand story of salvation, expressing praise and thanks for a better child, a better king, the Lord's Messiah, Jesus Christ, who will bring salvation.